everything has become so real to me. No more theories out of the Word of God. No more theories. No more, I think this is going to happen. It's now, I know this is going to happen. I am aware that we are very close to the fulfillment of the expectations of the creation, which is the manifestation of the sons and the daughters of God. It's not theological fiction. It's not wishful thinking of teary-eyed grandmothers. It's scriptural fact. And I'm also feeling the opposition to it. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zunder, and Satan is real. He's not a negative emotion. He's not a vague, non-existent, allegorical evil force. He's a being, or else Jesus wrestled in the wilderness against nothing, against a figment of his own imagination. Just as Jesus Christ was a literal person, and he exuded everything good and righteous and pure, thus Satan is also a real being who exudes everything evil and dark and wrong. I've been told, even recently, that Satan's not real, and that the things I wrestle against, the things that we wrestle against, are our own imaginations. And yet our apostle tells us in Ephesians 6 that we do wrestle against sovereignties and authorities and world mights. And if you don't know your enemy, you're in a bad place. I was already starting to break down at the end of yesterday's show, if you were aware. And after the show, I did what I usually do. I put a flash drive in my computer, copied the show over to it. It's got a cord on it, this particular flash drive that I use. I took it downstairs. The family was already eating. I put it around Clyde Lynn Pilkington's neck. He's the one who processes the show. And I was already feeling the breaking coming. And it was unusual for me not to sit down and eat with my family. But I knew that something was about to break. So I put the show around Clyde's neck and went over to my place up the stairs, and I barely got in the door when I fell to my knees on the bed and began to weep. And that only lasted a moment because soon the kneeling posture at the bed was not low enough, and I threw myself on the floor spread-eagled and began to weep for the body of Christ. I felt spiritual, very spiritually sensitive last night. There are different reasons for this, but the reasons are insignificant because the reasons triggered a real ultra sensitivity to all of you and what you're going through. And the body of Christ suffers together. And this comes to me in waves. It's not... This is a spiritual thing. I'm not a New Age guy, you know that. But Scripture does say that when one member of the body suffers, we all suffer. And when one member rejoices, we all rejoice. And last night, I felt so thin. So able to be attacked. So vulnerable to Satan. And that was the whole thing yesterday with the wheat, that Satan desires to sift you like wheat. And I'm aware of the power of Satan to do that. And I was feeling it particularly, that he wants to kill us all. And so I began to pray for the body of Christ, and then the sobbing came. But at the same time, I'm delivering this up to God, praying for everyone in the body of Christ, for you, praying for you. I was praying specifically for you. And also for myself. And I was so grateful to be connected to God. So grateful to be protected by God. And yet so aware of the conglomerate suffering and the potential for suffering of the body of Christ. And there is so much potential for suffering. Because we are in vehicles of flesh and blood. And it doesn't take much to break us. We are so finely balanced. Even the earth, you know, there's only a small window temperature-wise that the human body can survive. And if the earth was not tilted as it is, if the earth was a couple hundred miles closer to the sun or farther away, we would perish. So we're barely balanced in life in the Milky Way galaxy. And we're microcosmically in our own life, we're barely balanced each day. It takes very little. One phone call. Your one phone call from falling apart. One letter in the mail from falling apart. You're 1 second away on the highway from falling apart. From death. We're all a step away from death. This is the most dangerous planet in the universe right now. The most dangerous planet. And we're all waiting to be delivered. We're all living in the valley of the shadow of death. That's where David was as his enemies pursued him. Go ahead and extrapolate that. Apply it to your present life. Apply it to the highway. Apply it to your job. Apply it to your kids, your grandkids. How many things can go wrong in this life? I'm not trying to bring you down. I'm just saying that sometimes when it piles up on you and you can feel the shaking, you can feel the quaking, it's like an earthquake. It begins to rumble in your soul and your spirit. It's not indigestion. You know what somebody tried to tell me? Martin, maybe you just ate something. Maybe you just need to get more sun. Maybe, you know, just eat a cookie. Eat a cookie and you'll be all right. No, it's far deeper than that. There's a universal groaning for deliverance. You can read about it. In Romans chapter 8, I'll read about it for you. For the premonition, Romans 8:19, of the creation is awaiting the unveiling of the sons of God. For to vanity was the creation subjected. That's emptiness. Not voluntarily, but because of him who subjects it in expectation that the creation itself also shall be freed from the slavery of corruption into the glorious freedom of the children of God. For we are aware, verse 22, that the entire creation is groaning and travailing together until now. They didn't eat a bad pizza. This is spiritual groaning. It's spiritual opposition. You're being opposed. And you're longing, you yourself, we ourselves are groaning. Let me go on here. Yet not only so, but we ourselves also who have the first fruit of the Spirit. We're different than everybody else. I was told this too. Martin, everybody suffers. Yes, that's true. But we have an especial suffering. Why? Because we're an especial people. Because God is the Savior of all humanity, especially of believers. We ourselves who have the first fruit of the Spirit, we ourselves are also groaning in ourselves, awaiting the sonship, the deliverance of our body. We're groaning in ourselves. There's disquietness in us. And it's a groaning. It's an agony deep down. It can be covered up when your kid's having a birthday party or when you're watching your favorite television show. But it's there. It's part of your bedrock. It's a groaning. It's a dissatisfaction. It's an angst. It's a pain. It's an agony. Paul himself said, there's unintermittent pain in my heart for my brethren according to flesh, who are the Israelites. Whose is the sonship? The legislature. It's Romans chapter 9. I too have this pain in my heart for all of you. And I know that there's a heaviness. And I think that the closer we get to the snatching away, the bigger the heaviness is going to be, because I know God is into contrasts. And he's setting up an amazing contrast between the snatching away and our present occupation as flesh and blood people who are subject to satanic fury and yet protected by this micro sheen of God. I've often said that to you, and I'm going to say it again. That if Satan's this far from your face, God's this far from your face. However close Satan may be, God's closer. Greater is he who is in you than he was in the world. And I'm counting on that. But in these moments of crying and sobbing out to God. There's deliverance in that, because then things fall away, things strip away, things that are of concern of the earth fall away, and you realize then that no one can bring any railing accusation against you. Oh, they can bring it against you, but it doesn't stick, because you give it all to God. And weeping is like being stripped. It's like taking your clothes off. It's like being naked and presenting yourself before God. The best place to do that for me is face on the floor. You realize you're nothing in His presence. You're nothing. And your next breath is dependent upon His life. And then everything falls away. Your reputation, your irritability, your anger at other people, your dissatisfaction with your own life. That stuff falls away when you're on your face before God in the dark by yourself, and you realize then really what He's doing. And you're all alone. You feel like it. Elijah in Romans 11, he cried out to God, "I alone am left." Cried out. Because you feel so alone and you think you're crazy. And this is a repetitive message of mine. I realize that, but I'm going to keep telling you this because I need this every day. We have to fortify one another in the Word of God. I've been promising you Ephesians, so by God, I'm going to bring you Ephesians. I'm going to start with it here. But we're not dreaming this up. You have to base this on the Word of God. What, like, really now? So what was Jesus fretting about in the garden, I ask you? What was Jesus fretting about in the Garden of Gethsemane? Oh, I know what it was. You know, somebody just should have handed him a cookie. You know, what was he getting upset about? Everybody suffers. Oh, Jesus, you know, let me put my hand on your shoulder and just tell you this. Everybody suffers. You're no different than the rest of humanity. Everybody suffers. Why don't you just get some sun? I think you need more sun. Would you like a cookie? How about a cup of coffee? You know, this writhing you're doing at this rock, I think it's just something you ate during the Last Supper. You know, what naivete, what ignorance of the reality of the enmity and the wrestling with foreign powers. Ephesians 2. He vivifies us together in Christ, in grace are you saved, and rouses us together and seats us together among the celestials. The celestials, among the celestials. First time in Scripture, right here, that we hear of a people being taken among the celestials. That in the oncoming eons, He should be displaying the transcendent riches of His grace in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. This harkens back to the letter of Dave. In the oncoming eons, we're going to be display vessels of God's grace. Now, Paul says later in this chapter, in chapter 3, verse 8, that to me, less than the least of all saints, was granted this grace. To him, not to Peter, not to James, not to John. To Paul was granted this grace to bring the evangel of the untraceable riches of Christ to the nations. That's us, tree worshipers. Uncircumcised dogs, those who are without hope, without expectation in the world. He's bringing a message to us to enlighten all as to what is the administration of the secret, which has been concealed from the eons before time began. This secret was concealed in God in accord with the purpose of the eons. This secret Paul's about to unveil is in accord with a purpose God has that He is going to execute during the Aeonian times. We're in eon 3 of a series of 5 eons. 2 good eons are ahead. There's 3 evil ones. We're in the worst one. Who creates all that now may be made known to the sovereignties and the authorities among the celestials. Sovereignties and authorities, the same beings. Paul mentions later in this book, in chapter 6, there are good ones and bad ones. Sovereignties and authorities of God, and also world might, sovereignties and authorities of the present darkness. And the multifarious wisdom of God is even now being made known to those beings among the celestials through the ecclesia. What's being made known? The multifarious wisdom of God. What specifically, Martin? Go back to chapter 2. Verse 7, in the oncoming eons, he's going to be displaying the transcendent riches of his grace. That's what Dave was talking about. Grace. You're not finished. You're not done for. Your sins have not eliminated you forever from God's smile. And we are going to be bringing this message to a realm we can't even imagine. But that is being told us here. Very little information. And yet here it is. No details. But the facts are in. We are making known God's grace to a foreign realm. This is why, verse 12, we have boldness with confidence through Jesus Christ's faith. Paul says, wherefore I'm requesting you not to be despondent at my afflictions for your sake, which are for your glory. I'm taking this advice for myself. I'm not going to be despondent because of the afflictions, because it's for your glory. Paul said it's for our glory, and all of our afflictions are ultimately for the glory of God, and our afflictions are preparing us to help those who are afflicted, to give them the grace that we've been shown. As Christ has shown us grace, we now show other beings grace, and this is what we're being prepared for. It's all purposeful. We're in a boot camp. Nothing's being wasted, and you will not be tried above what you're able to bear, but God will give you the outcome. He'll show you what you're coming into, and He won't give you one more trial than you need. And when the last trial comes, then comes the beginning of our amazing mission among the celestials.